Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the Old Testament reading out of Deuteronomy chapter 4 as the text and reread the last verse. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. I think I've told you many times how forgetful I am. I constantly forget the same things over and over again. I forget the trash to put it out, which on a hot summer day can really start to smell bad, but I don't think of it until it's too late. I've been forgetful all my life. Maybe it's getting worse in my old age, but I've always been forgetful. And it's not a memory issue. I can memorize things and remember things after I have seen them. It's a focus thing. My mind gets on what's right before me, and I forget amazing amount of things because of that. It causes no end of grief. I let the water run too long. I forget appointments. I forget things I say that I'm going to do. I know the facts. I just quit thinking about them, and I forget. I know, but I forget. And forgetting is more than just an inconvenience that causes me grief. Sometimes forgetting can actually ruin my life. I can forget why I am here, and I can forget what I'm supposed to do. And worst of all, sometimes I forget who I am. I believe that's what happened to the children of Israel. They were supposed to remember God's rules, and it might seem like that was a burdensome chore to them. It was like earning your allowance. If you do all the chores you're supposed to do, you get your allowance. It was like God said to them, if you obey all of my rules, especially those rules about worshiping and all those sorts of things, then I will give you my blessing. And it could become a burden if you pass it down from generation to generation, because it gets kind of worn and it gets kind of old. And you begin to say things like this to your children: I know you're busy and I know you have lots of things to do, but don't forget to do those chores. And when you begin to look at them that way, they do become a burden. And you, when you have a burden, you don't think much about them, and you hurry through them. And sometimes you might even forget why you do them. They just quit going to church. I know it was real important to Grandpa, and Grandpa went all the time. But the thing is, when you start giving up the rules, you lose more than a chore. Children of Israel didn't just forget their traditions, they forgot their identity. They forgot who they were. They finally lost not just their traditions, they lost God. I know, because He showed up one day and they did not know who He was. You and I struggle sometimes with our place before God. And I think sometimes we get confused and start defining our connection to God by the chores that we do. How close are you to God? Well, I read my portals of prayer this morning. Or I went to church last Sunday. Or I said my prayers when I went to bed at night. And sometimes it feels so much like a chore that you can do them without thinking about them. How many times have you been in the middle of a meal and somebody said, "Did we pray?" And no one can remember. We begin to hurry through all of those things because they're just stuff we do if we're, you know, connected to God. It seems to me that our problems seem complicated. The world is very busy and there's a lot to worry about, and we get rushed through all the things we have to do. Seems to me that maybe our problems are simpler than that. Maybe we just have forgotten who we are. And the answer to forgetting might be as simple as remembering. Remembering is an amazingly powerful thing. You get together with somebody you haven't seen for years and you start telling remembrances, memories. And you know they're the same dumb things you said the last time you were together. And there's nothing new about them. And you laugh and you love on tears run down your eyes. Memories have an amazing power to bring not just information, they bring back the feeling of that time and the emotion of that time. And they do more than just connect you to your past. They change our view of the present. I was watching the Republican National Convention. If you watch it on one of those stations that doesn't just show the main speakers, but they show all of the lesser known speakers, look for it when they do the Democratic Convention as well, too. I love the stories of how they got to be where they are. I just find it remarkable, the stories of how they thank their parents and they remember some hard time they had growing up and the things they had to do to stand where they are. But when you see them tell their stories, all of a sudden they seem special. And those stories that they tell are what made them special. When Israel remembered, they saw something that made them special, so they were different than every other people that have ever existed in the world. They were the chosen people of God. They had not earned their place in history because they had a large army. When they were chosen, they had no army. They didn't have this really nice section of land that God thought was a great piece of land. When they were chosen, they had no land. God chose them to be His special people just out of the blue. There was no merit that they had somehow earned that place. When they forgot is when they got to thinking that they didn't need God anymore because now they had a king, and now they had an army, and now they had land that flowed with milk and honey. And when they began to think they didn't need God, when they forgot why they were special, they forgot who they were. And they lost track of what set them apart. They needed to keep remembering. I think memory has a place in our spiritual life too. It helps us answer a question that if we have not answered, then we have lost a treasure. What makes us special? In fact, that's not the question either. What makes you special? Still not the question. What you finally have to say is, what makes me special? You have to answer that question for yourself. And when you have that question before you, it needs to be answered. You ever feel like you've lost your reason? I don't mean your sanity or your mind. I mean, have you ever felt like you lost your reason to speak, or your reason to go on, or your reason to do stuff? We run to conversations when there's a group because we want to slide into the group where the conversation is, and we just want to have something to say that will make everybody turn and say, well, good for you, or that's right, or some kind of statement. We want to be a part of the group. We hear laughter, and laughter is an amazing attracting force. It pulls you over to it, and you want to be a part of the party, and the worst feeling you can have is a feeling of being left out. Maybe it's a memory issue. Maybe we sometimes forget that we could never be left out if we're chosen. We could never be left out if we're special. It might really be that this is what you have to pass on to your children. I know we line up our property and we line up stuff, but isn't this the treasure that we have? The reason we are special? It's really what we have to say to the world. I know people will say, what is your belief in God? And we think of all the things in the Bible and the Ten Commandments and all the promises of God, and they well up in our mind. Isn't this what we want to pass on to people, that we are special because God chose us? Jesus passed on to us from the Old Testament not rules about how to worship, not rules about how to sacrifice animals in the temple. That was all for the time before He came. What He passed on to us was the jewel, the special part. We get to retain the title of chosen. It answers the question, what makes you special? We get to retain the title of chosen. God chose Noah to build that ark. God chose Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. God chose David to be king of Israel. God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. And then the Bible goes on with that description, how we are chosen by God before the foundation of the world, how we are the people of God, and it's a title we get to wear. Isn't that what you want to pass on to your children, a feeling that they're special? Isn't that what you want to pass on to your children's children, a feeling that they have been chosen out of the world to be somebody special in the eyes of God? We were not born into this family. We were adopted. We are the story of a child that was born into extreme poverty, where there was danger in every part of their life, where there was not enough food, where they had no shelter, where their clothing was only rags. And that little child was spotted by a family who wanted a child of their own. And so they took that child in and they gave that child their name. And they gave that child a place where there was no want. And they gave that child a place where they belonged. And that child lost every memory of being in poverty, every memory of being hungry, every memory of being alone and lost and abandoned. And now all he knew was that he had a place called home where there was always food, a place called home where there was always shelter, a place where he was always loved because he was chosen. He was adopted. It's a memory you could get excited about. God adopted me to be his own. He has a rule for you. His rule is forgiveness. His rule is that he loves you. It matters what you remember now at this moment. You know, we have that moment in our service when we take a moment to reflect on our sins. And somebody suggests that we should make it longer because it's not long enough. But I found on the really good days I got done with mine and started on yours. So it got to be dangerous because a lot of good material out there. But on the days when your own sins fill your mind and what you remember are your failures, and what you carry with you is a burden of things you should have done and did not do, and what you carry with you is a conscious knowledge that you have failed in so many times to say the right thing or you said the wrong thing, and when you carry those memories around with you, it is a burden that can crush you down and weigh you down. God gives you permission. In fact, he gives you a command to remember salvation. You are commanded by God to rejoice in your salvation. You are commanded by God to sing hymns of praise and thanksgiving. You are allowed by God to forget all of your sins. It's just such a remarkable thing that when the Bible describes God's interaction with your sins, we are told that God forgets your sins and remembers them no more. And that is a treasure beyond treasures. He hands you the rest of the treasure. You get to forget your sins and you get to remember them no more. He gives you permission to live in that kind of victory and to live in that kind of celebration because you aren't just people who are standing around. You are the chosen ones. You are the special ones. You are the people God picked out and gave salvation. Isn't that what you want to remember? Isn't that what you want your children to remember? Isn't that what you want your children's children to carry with them? I think so many times when I hear people talk about their parents and the values they passed on to them, I appreciate that their parents had them work hard, and I appreciate their parents had them be honest, and I appreciate that their parents had them learn to say please and thank you, but it warms my heart when someone says, my parents took me to church, or my parents prayed with me, or my parents shared their faith with me, because I know they passed on a kind of treasure that never fades, that lifts you up on the days when you are down, that drags you from this place into a place of glory, and that promises now that you are destined to be in that place, to live forever in joy. Isn't that what you want to remember and not forget? God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.